Welcome to Now. I'm David Byrd.
And I'm Aisha Khalid.
This week, it's time to say goodbye to Don, Joan, Roger, Peggy, and the rest of the Mad Men crew as the hit TV series starts its last season.
It's been a significant portion of our lives, and it's been a wild ride and an amazing ride. And as an actor, it's been, for all of us, I think we've had an incredible experience.
Then 3D printers were a big hit at this year's Consumer Electronics Show. But what if someone's printing a patented device?
Millions of people have bariatric surgery for weight loss, but we'll find out there's an added benefit to having the procedure.
Recent earthquakes have shaken the so-called Ring of Fire. But what are people doing to prepare for the big one?
We'll take a trip to a special museum that highlights life in the western U.S. desert.
And Ray McDonald counts down the top five pop hits of the week.
That's all coming up on Now. This week, the final season of what has become an iconic television show here in the United States, Mad Men, starts on AMC television.
After 7 years, the show, which runs on the AMC cable channel, will show 7 episodes this year. The last 7 episodes will air next year.
The show, set in an advertising agency in the 1960s in New York, has won 4 Emmy Awards for Outstanding Drama Series. It has also won 3 Golden Globe Awards for Best Television Drama Series.
Jon Hamm plays the show's lead character, hard-drinking, womanizing, and brilliant Madison Avenue advertising executive Don Draper. He told the AP that saying goodbye to the cast and crew is tough.
Elizabeth said it best. She's like, there's going to be laughter, there's going to be tears, there's going to be a lot of acting out, and it's just part of the process. You know, I talked to Tina Fey and Robert Carlock over on 30 Rock, and I talked to Vince and Brian on Breaking Bad, and they both said, like, it's tough to say goodbye.
The show also stars Christina Hendricks as the office manager and later agency partner Joan Holloway. Hendricks says that the show has been one constant in 8 years of changes.
So many things have changed in our lives. We've gotten married and bought homes and had children and gotten puppies. And you know, the things that happen in your 30s when you're, you know, through 8 years of someone's life. So I feel like my life has completely changed.
Mad Men has become so much a part of American culture that President Obama used the show as an example in his State of the Union speech when talking about equal pay for women. January Jones plays Don Draper's ex-wife, Betty. She says the president's reference to the show was thrilling.
I mean, I think that's one of the reasons the show's been so successful is that the time period that Mad Men is set in and modern right now have very many parallels. Good and bad. So I think that, you know, the things he was talking about was something that we've done. We've made some progress on, but not enough. And I think that it was awesome for him to reference that, to reference our show in that way.
Actress Elizabeth Moss plays Peggy Olson, once Don Draper's protege and then later his competitor. She says that working on the final 7 episodes is emotionally tough.
Well, I start tomorrow on the last 7 episodes, and it's definitely, it's like a rock, you know, a boulder in your chest. It's sad.
Jon Hamm says playing Don Draper has taken a lot out of him, but it has been worth it.
And you try to bring emotion to it, and the emotion is, you know, real while you're feeling it, and it's hard. He's had a rough road, you know. It's not been all rainbows and sunshine for Don. So constantly being in that dark place is tricky at best.
Show producer Matthew Weiner says that showing 7 episodes this year and 7 next year follows the pattern of another hit show on AMC, Breaking Bad.
But this first half is kind of like pretty much picking up near where we left off, and Don's in a heap of trouble, and I think we're going to see what is this man going to do? Can this man change? And if you do change, do other people care?
Apparently, a lot of people care about Mad Men. In addition to its Emmy Awards and Golden Globes, it has won a Peabody Award, 3 Producers Guild Awards, 4 Writers Guild Awards, 2 BAFTA Awards, 5 Television Critics Association Awards, including Program of the Year.
It was also named 5 years running to AFI's top 10 outstanding television programs.
So are you a fan of Mad Men? Who is your favorite character?
Let us know by sending us an email to voaasia@voanews.com.
We are also on Twitter. Our address there is @NowVOAShow.
Smaller, less expensive 3D printers were one of the hot items this year at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas.
The printers can be used to print any number of items, from a model of your new home to human body parts to weapons.
But what about when someone owns the patent to something that you want to print?
George Putich found out that copyright laws and intellectual freedom are working out what can and what can't be printed on a 3D printer.
Very rapidly, 3D printers have spread from scientific labs to industrial workshops to private homes. The range of available machines is on display at 3D print shows, like the one held last November in London. From sophisticated models that can print complex objects, such as replicas of human organs, to more affordable machines that make children's toys or parts for home appliances. A German firm recently displayed a prototype of a car chassis printed in one piece, while a Chinese manufacturer advertised a house created in a 3D printer. With the help of a computer, practically anyone can print exact copies of a variety of objects and potentially violate the law. Julie Samuels is a senior staff attorney with the U.S. Civil Liberties Group Electronic Frontier Foundation.
If a certain design that you want to print is covered by copyright, then if you print that, you are infringing, arguably, somebody's copyright.
But 3D companies warn that passing more restrictive copyright protection laws could impede both citizens' rights and technological innovation. Several decades ago, legislatures and the music industry were equally slow to adjust when suddenly anyone could copy music, first to magnetic and now electronic media. But just as in the music industry, the founder of the website 3dplus.me, Sydney Tetro, says she expects to see 3D licenses very soon.
All of those companies are in very active engagements right now about how they'll deploy 3D printed products over the next year, and we're going to see that.
3D printer designer Diego Porqueras says owners of 3D printers and copyright owners should come to terms.
If companies really take advantage of, you know, just charge nominal fees to download, you know, your favorite character off Star Wars and 3D print it, I think that's going to prevent a lot more piracy.
The lack of legislation related to 3D printing will hardly stop the technology from spreading, but experts say they hope the new laws will not punish people for printing a copy of something for their personal use. George Putich, VOA News, Washington.
So what do you think? Is it right for people to print copyrighted material even if it's just for their own use?
Let us know your opinion by sending an email to voaasia@voanews.com.
Aisha, do you know anyone who has undergone what they call bariatric surgery?
The New Jersey Governor, Chris Christie.
Really?
That's a secret, though.
There are a couple of our colleagues here at VOA, but I didn't know until I talked with him that there are some benefits more than just losing weight.
Apparently, the surgery can also prevent or reverse diabetes.
As Carol Pearson tells us now, having the surgery can lower blood sugar levels, and folks will no longer have to take insulin or other anti-diabetic medications.
Marla Evans enjoys playing with her granddaughter. 8 years ago, Evans had type 2 diabetes. That was before she underwent gastric bypass surgery. Since then, she has shed 36 kilograms. Evans participated in a study led by Dr. Philip Schauer at the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio. Dr. Schauer wanted to see if the surgery could help patients with diabetes.
This disease over time can be very debilitating, causing blindness, kidney failure, amputations, heart attack, and stroke, if it's not well treated.
High blood sugar levels are the hallmark of diabetes. A few years ago, Dr. Schauer published the initial results of the study. He found that the stomach shrinking surgery reversed type 2 diabetes. The latest results are the same.
This is very important because this shows that the effect of surgery in lowering blood sugar is durable out to 3 years, that it's not just a short-term effect.
Bariatric surgery is an umbrella term for the different surgeries that make the stomach smaller. In the most common procedure, the surgeon cuts across the top of the stomach to create a small pouch about the size of a walnut. Food bypasses most of the stomach and enters directly into the small intestine. Afterwards, patients have to change their lifestyles and stick with a diet that Marla Evans says was sometimes difficult to adjust to, but worth the effort.
I like the size I am. I like everything that came out of the surgery. It's a blessing that you don't have to take medicine, that you are healthier, you feel good, you look fantastic.
The surgery is expensive, but as Dr. Schauer says, so is treating diabetes and all its complications.
So in that regard, I do think that surgery will factor in as a viable and efficient and economically advantageous treatment.
Dr. Schauer also found that patients who had the surgery had better blood pressure results and could reduce the amount of medicine they used to control it. They had better cholesterol levels and were generally healthier. Evans prepares her own food and eats far less than before. When Evans thinks about her old lifestyle, she says she misses ice cream. But as for the rest?
No, absolutely not. I have energy. I have a new life. I am not a diabetic anymore.
Dr. Schauer says that with the steep increases in obesity and diabetes around the world, bariatric surgery will become more common, even outside of Western countries. Carol Pearson, VOA News.
Coming up, we'll visit a museum that highlights life in the southwestern desert. Recently, a series of earthquakes have shaken areas along the so-called Ring of Fire in the Pacific Ocean.
At least a couple of those tremors hit Los Angeles, California.
As Mike O'Sullivan tells us, city officials in L.A. are reminding people to prepare for earthquakes, including having food, water, and emergency equipment.
An earthquake of magnitude 5.1 shook the southeastern suburbs of Los Angeles, causing some damage but no major injuries. Nerves were on edge as smaller aftershocks rumbled through the region. At the Los Angeles County Emergency Operations Center, young people sort through supplies, the kind we should all have on hand for any disaster, from flashlights and batteries to emergency blankets. They are training with FEMA Corps under the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the National Service Program AmeriCorps. Ongoing training at this Hilltop Command Center also ensures coordination among emergency responders. L.A. County has 88 cities and scores of agencies, and Leslie Luke of the Office of Emergency Management says the region has to be ready for any kind of disaster.
Well, just here in the last month, we've had a wildfire, we've had a severe rainstorm which caused mud flows and debris flows, we've had an earthquake.
At the Red Cross in nearby Long Beach, the message is also preparedness, since experts say people should expect to be on their own for at least 3 days after a disaster. They will need their medications, a first aid kit, food, and water. Red Cross official Margaret Arbini Madonna says their emergency kit should also include a radio, ideally one like this with several functions.
So it's got an alarm, it's got a light, it's got an AM/FM radio.
She says people should keep copies of important documents in a waterproof package, and it should all be accessible in an emergency kit. She adds that in an earthquake, people need to react when the shaking starts.
So you go under your counter or something to protect your head and neck from falling objects. So drop cover and hold on till the shaking stops.
Earthquakes are a fact of life in California, and a quake of magnitude 8 or higher could strike along the San Andreas Fault in coming decades. The fault runs north to south through the state, and thousands died in its last major rupture near San Francisco in 1906. Scientists say it could well wreak havoc again in Northern California or closer to Los Angeles in the southern part of the state. But smaller earthquakes can be deadly if they strike close to cities, like the magnitude 6.7 quake that hit Northridge, California 20 years ago. It killed more than 50 people. Seismologist Kate Hutton of the California Institute of Technology says an early warning system is now in development, similar to ones now in place in Japan and Mexico City. It would give precious seconds of warning after a trembler has struck the region as ground waves are approaching.
And, you know, get under the desk or get out of the elevator or slow the trains down or, you know, all these different things that could be done in that short amount of time.
But she says there is no way to predict earthquakes, so being prepared is the best defense. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
Coming up, Ray McDonald counts down the top five pop hits of the week. 'Cause all we got is right now.
Deserts are typically thought of as arid places that are devoid of life.
But some deserts are actually lush with plants and animals that thrive in dry climates.
One of the world's most intriguing deserts is the Sonoran Desert, which covers parts of the southwest United States and northern Mexico.
Shelley Shalander takes us to the Sonora Desert Museum, which helps open people's eyes to the beauty that is all around them.
As drivers speed down the highways across the vast Sonoran Desert, the only life they see often seems to be giant saguaro cacti, standing alone and silent as sentinels. But at the Sonora Desert Museum, life is everywhere, including on this blustery, scrub-covered bluff, where a museum volunteer uses a loudspeaker to tell a large crowd about one of the most extraordinary birds of prey exhibitions in the U.S. A volunteer trainer raises his arm to send a raptor into the air.
This is a beautiful female red-tailed hawk.
The hawk swoops so close, her wings nearly brush people's heads. To bring her back to his leather-gloved hand, the trainer holds up a strip of meat. Up next, a peregrine falcon. As a grand finale, the trainers give wing to an entire family of russet-feathered Harris hawks. The hawks soar across the valley, then perch on tall saguaro cacti. When their trainers call them in, they suddenly go off script. They dive into the sagebrush and make a kill.
This is a good example of a group hunt. They were all sitting here.
More tranquil moments await visitors who stroll the museum's 3 kilometers of outdoor paths, past yellow desert daisies, pink globe mallow, grasses with blue blossoms, prickly cactus, and 60,000 other plants. All have evolved to thrive throughout the Sonoran Desert on hardly any precipitation. A good example, says museum horticulturalist John Weens, is this desert ironwood tree.
It can go through incredible droughts and die back clear to the ground and re-sprout new trunks from the ground time and time again.
He says there's a reason this world-class zoo is also a botanical garden.
We have a lot of different plants from our region here with interpretation to let them know that animals don't stand alone in nature and neither do plants. It's all interrelated, interlinked.
Interlinked in another desert ecosystem, a green Arizona parrot perches on desert scrub oak. It's not far from a steep cliff, with a pond at the bottom and a cave far away at the top. In that cave is a man-sized mountain lion.
Are there mountain lions in this area?
There are tons of them.
Really?
Continuing on the path, visitors reach the backside of that cave, where they discover not a cave wall, but a picture window, behind which is the mountain lion watching them.
Skylar, isn't he cute? Don't you want a kitty like that?
A mother and her preschool son lean forward.
He's a big little guy.
He's a cutie, huh? But you don't ever pet those if you see them in your backyard.
Other exhibits let visitors get up close to more than 200 native desert animals that slither, creep, and fly.
His tail, it makes rattles. And you don't go near that sound because he's warning you that you're getting too close and he'll bite you. He's got fangs in his mouth. You see him?
He has a tongue too.
Yeah, he's got a tongue. A long tongue.
Spider eight legs.
So this is the desert blonde spider.
On the nest, there's a hummingbird right there on the nest. He's looking at me.
The museum's marketing director, Rosemary Prodzik, says these native animals in their natural settings are popular.
We're ranked the number 9 museum in the world. And that's based on our ratings on TripAdvisor by people who visit. So it's people like you and me who come and experience it and realize that this place is really a gem.
The museum also leads major conservation efforts throughout the Sonoran Desert region, all part of fulfilling its mission to inspire people to live in harmony with the natural world. For VOA News, I'm Shelley Schlender near Tucson, Arizona.
Pharrell Williams has become a fixture atop the Billboard Hot 100 music charts with his hit, Happy.
Williams has been number one for weeks, but will he be able to stay there?
Or will John Legend finally dethrone Pharrell with All of Me?
Here is VOA's Ray McDonald with this week's top 5 pop hits.
I'm Ray McDonald on The Voice of America, and this is the Top 5 Countdown. We're looking at the 5 most popular songs in the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles chart for the week ending April 12th, 2014. Let's open in 5th place, where Idina Menzel holds with her soundtrack hit Let It Go.
Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, let it go. Turn away and slam the door. I don't care what they're going to say. Let the storm rage on. The cold never bothered me anyway.
Idina Menzel spends another week in 5th place with her Oscar-winning song from Frozen, Let It Go. That movie's record-breaking success has put Idina on the cultural map. Frozen is now the top-grossing animated movie of all time. If Jason Derulo spends another week in 4th place, as he has for almost a month, do we then report upon it? Well, of course we do. Jason and 2 Chainz mark time with Talk Dirty while he preps a new album and world tour.
Been around the world, don't speak the language, but your booty don't need explaining. All I really need to understand is when you talk dirty to me.
Jason Derulo and 2 Chainz spend yet another week in 4th place with Talk Dirty. Katy Perry and Juicy J hold in 3rd place with Dark Horse, and Katy lets us peer into her past for her latest single. Hold on for details.
Are you ready for, ready for, hey, a perfect storm, perfect storm?
Hey, hey,
cause what's your mind, what's your mind?
Hey, 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 hey. There's no going back.
Katy Perry treads water in 3rd place with Dark Horse, featuring Juicy J from 3-6 Mafia. Katy just pulled a 4th single from her Prism album. It's titled Birthday, and the cover photo features a very young Katy and her older sister Angela at a birthday party. John Legend married model Chrissy Teigen last September, and surprise, his latest hit single played a part. We'll take a closer look after All of Me.
Give you all to me. Give my all to you. You're my end and my beginning. Even when I lose, I'm winning. Cause I give you all of me.
John Legend remains within shouting distance of his first Hot 100 win as All of Me holds in the runner-up slot. Last September, John married model Chrissy Teigen in Italy and sang this song at the nuptials. Pharrell Williams turned 41 last Saturday and celebrated his big day with the aid of a cartoon character. Details are on the way after Happy.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof.
Pharrell Williams rules the Hot 100 Pop Singles chart for a 6th week with Happy. Last Saturday, Pharrell celebrated his 41st birthday at a New York City restaurant. The theme party featured cartoon character SpongeBob SquarePants, along with such celebrity guests as Alicia Keys, producer Swizzbeatz, and hip-hop mogul Russell Simmons. Join me next week when we'll celebrate a new lineup. And thank you so much for dropping by today. I'm Ray McDonald, and this has been the Top 5 Countdown on The Voice of America.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Now.
We would love to hear your questions or comments. Send us an email by addressing it to voaasia@voanews.com.
We're also on Twitter. Our address there is @NowVOAShow.
If you want to hear our show again, check us out on the VOA webpage, www.voanews.com/now.
Speaking of hearing us again, we're going to be going from one day a week